When my father was in seminary, studying to be a Presbyterian minister, he served as a student pastor of Bethlehem Presbyterian Church, a small congregation in the small town of Shinston, West Virginia. And by small, I mean that the church at that time had no more than 50 members. It was a tight-knit community and regularly had 20 to 30 people in worship on any given Sunday. When I was about 5 years old, my father was invited to preach on Easter Sunday at Bethlehem Presbyterian. Our whole family was in attendance, of course, my mother, my sister Laura, and myself. Since it was Easter morning, we had already opened our presents, and I was a bullheaded five-year-old, so I insisted on taking my Easter present to church with me. It just so happened that my present that year was a cowboy dress-up set, complete with vest, hat, and a cap, gun, and holster. My mother knew when to pick her battles, and so she coalesced, and I attended the Easter service dressed as a cowboy. Now, that church didn't see many children. It was an aging congregation. And so many in that congregation doted on my sister and me. They loved to see us, and they loved to have us involved in worship. That particular Easter, someone thought it a good idea to have us collect the offering during worship. Who would say no to such cute faces? Well, the time came in the service for the offering to be collected. And so my sister and I shimmied out of the pew in which we were sitting with our mother and made our way to the front of the sanctuary to get the offering plates. Being the sneaky and antagonistic older sibling that she was, my sister took that opportunity to ever so gently remove the gun from my holster without me noticing, hoping, I'm sure, to get a reaction at some point. And boy, did she ever get a reaction, though it was not from me. Because you see, as we both made our rounds to the pews collecting the offering, my sister did so holding the offering plate in one hand and the gun underneath with the other hand, just as such. After getting over the initial shock of being asked for offering at gunpoint, the congregation got a healthy laugh out of the whole situation. Now, I don't know if more was collected that day than on past Easter Sundays, but if so, I would not be surprised to hear that the church went back to the at gunpoint strategy in the future. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Well, since it was a toy gun and a smiling, mischievous seven-year-old holding it, the giving that day in Shinston was indeed cheerful. Had it been a real gun, or had the congregation felt pressured and manipulated to give due to other reasons, then the giving would have likely been reluctant or under compulsion. The former is much preferred, according to Paul. Cheerful trumps reluctant any day. Of course, Paul was writing about a specific opportunity to give. It was a New Testament capital campaign, if you will. You see, the church at Jerusalem, as the book of Acts tells us, experimented with property and practically abolished the notion of private property. Now, the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common, according to Acts chapter 4, verse 32. From the common fund thus created, the committee headed by Stephen distributed to each as he had need. Now, it was a successful plan for a while. In fact, the author of Acts writes, there was not a needy person among them. But by the time that Paul wrote his second letter to the Corinthians, some 20 years later or more, the mother church in Jerusalem had fallen on hard times. The cause was partly a famine, which of course they could not help. But their poverty was also due to the fact that in their generous sharing of what they had forgotten something very important: production. Their system of distribution worked splendidly, but distribution without production ends in the poorhouse, for individual or for nation. because you reach the point where your system of distribution has nothing left to distribute. At this low point in the Jerusalem community's history, Paul conceived a simple but hopeful plan. Jerusalem was the mother of all of the churches, so why not let the children come to their mother's rescue? It was ingenious. The church in Jerusalem clearly needed help, and the churches scattered about the region, many of which were started by Paul, wanted and needed the blessing of the mother church. If the churches throughout the region then could unite in support of the church in Jerusalem, it would then be a win-win. And so that is what Paul set out to orchestrate: a substantial offering from the outlying churches to support the poor mother church in Jerusalem. This is the important backdrop of Paul's words that we read today from 2 Corinthians. The point is this, he writes: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. And from what we can gather, despite numerous and significant challenges, Paul's campaign was a success, and it united the churches in a very important way. And so now here we stand, some 2,000 years later, at the beginning of a capital campaign of our own, a venture aimed at raising the funds needed to provide a safe, spacious, and welcoming enough facility to support the worship, mission, education, and fellowship of this congregation for years to come. And Paul's words come through as exhortation for us as well. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Over the course of the next 4 weeks, we ask each and every household of this church to prayerfully discern what would be a meaningful, a joyful, and a sacrificial gift to this endeavor, praying each day, Lord, what would you do through me to accomplish your will in my church? Meaningful, joyful, and sacrificial. And today I encourage you to find that joy, to be a cheerful giver, as Paul would put it. And so I would like to share with you our story, Ashley's and mine. When I received the phone call from Jeff Bloom letting me know about that the PNC had voted unanimously to offer me the call to serve as pastor of Christ Memorial Presbyterian Church, I was away on vacation at the beach for a Hoffman family reunion. We were sharing a beach house that week with my parents and my sister and her family. Receiving that call effectively ruined my vacation that week, but the timing was perfect, because receiving the call then allowed me the opportunity to process that decision openly with those that I love and trust the most: my wife, my parents, and my brother-in-law Scott, who is my best friend and who happens also to be a Presbyterian minister. At one point, sensing the struggle that I was in to discern whether or not to accept the call to serve here, my brother-in-law typed out his thoughts about that decision. At one point, when he and I were alone in the house, he shared with me that he had put down his thoughts and told me that I was welcome to look them over, but with one caveat: you probably shouldn't read it, and if you do, you certainly shouldn't listen to it, he said. Well, I did read it, and it was incredibly helpful in my discernment process. Fast forward a few weeks, and we were preparing for our move here and for our lives to change dramatically in many ways. Now, Scott is a business and finance guy at heart. While we were both in seminary, he also earned his MBA from the University of Louisville. He loves numbers and finances and has been incredibly helpful to us as we have navigated that part of our lives. And so as we prepared to move to Columbia and for our lives to change in many significant ways, including financially, moving from an associate pastor position where a house was provided to a solo pastor position where we would need to find our own housing, Scott once again put his thoughts down on paper. Shortly before we moved to Columbia, he handed us a paper entitled Scott Hauser's Secrets to the Hoffman's Financial Success. And once again, it came with a caveat. You probably shouldn't read it, he said. And if you do, you certainly shouldn't listen to it. Of course, it turned out to be excellent advice. His thoughts on paying down debt, saving for retirement, saving for college, etc. But the very first piece of advice in the document has been the most important to us ever since. It was something Ashley and I had thought of, but not in the way that he put it. You are going to be in a position, he wrote, to be generous in ways you have never had the opportunity to be generous before. And he was and is right. Since moving to Columbia and beginning my work here, and especially since Ashley has returned to teaching full time, we have found that we are in a position to give as we have never given before. And of course, this capital campaign presents an even greater opportunity for us. And so over the course of the last few months, we have had some serious and lengthy conversations about what a meaningful, joyful, and sacrificial gift from us to this campaign might be. We have pored over our finances and talked about our priorities. We have talked about one number, and then another number, and then another. And we have ultimately and prayerfully decided to commit $25,000 to this campaign. We are obviously nervous about it, but in the end, we have found peace with that decision because we believe it is a meaningful and a sacrificial gift. But even more importantly, we are finding that decision to be incredibly joyful. We are not reluctant, nor do we feel compelled, and so our gift is joyful. Now, I share this with you in no ways to boast, for trust me, in many ways and for many reasons, I would prefer to keep our gift anonymous. But rather, I share with you in hopes that you will be encouraged to find that right gift for you and your household as well, one that is meaningful and sacrificial, but perhaps most of all, one that is joyful. That though it may make you a bit anxious, it ultimately brings a smile to your face, because you know that it is what is right for you and for our church. That is the gift God has not only asked of you, but has equipped you to give. To be clear, we have an idea of how this is going to work for us as a family, and it doesn't mean eating beans and rice and putting off all pleasantries for the next 3 years. But we never know what the future holds. Things could change one way or the other for us, and we are committed to staying open to the work of the Spirit at all times. And so faith and trust are key, which is why I asked Tiffany to read Proverbs 3 today, because it is my favorite passage of Scripture. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. That passage has carried me through many times that I have been anxious about what might lie ahead. And it will carry us, all of us, through this journey as well, I trust. In order to raise the funds we need to make our ministry expansion plan a reality, we will all need to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and lean not on our own understanding, because we will all be called to commit in ways that make us anxious, that may at first seem irrational, or even irresponsible, to give meaningfully and sacrificially. But if we are able to do so, if we are able to trust and to commit, that joy will follow. Of this, I am sure. Time and time again, when we give to the work of the Lord, we reap rewards that we would have never imagined. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Words true 2,000 years ago, and words true today. And so, friends, I invite you into this joy, into the joy of generosity, of giving to something so much greater than ourselves. The joy of giving not reluctantly or under compulsion, but out of our great love for God, who is the giver of all things. And so I stand here today, not with a gun in my hand, or even with any words that are meant to induce guilt, but rather with an invitation to join us, Ashley and me, and many others who have decided to give meaningfully and sacrificially to this campaign. Join us in finding the deep and abiding joy in giving generously to the work of the kingdom. It is what I want most of all for the faithful of CMPC as we walk this journey together. And I believe in the very depths of my soul that it is what God so desires as well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.